Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker became the 15th Republican running for president, and candidates also told us how much money they've raised in the past few months. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush raised the most money from outside groups like super PACs, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton raised the most from individual donors. So, with that, let's get to our weekly discussion of 2016.
Here and now,
2016.
Joining us today, Scott Horsley, White House correspondent for NPR. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
And Perry Bacon is with us, senior political reporter for NBC News. Probably the first time he's heard that little jingle. Perry, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Do you play that every week?
Every single Friday we play that. But this is the first Friday that we've had 15 Republicans in the race. So let's get to this announcement from Scott Walker. He became an official candidate this week. He made a stop at the McDonald's where he worked in high school. And on Fox News, he called the minimum wage lame.
The left claims that they're for American workers, and they've just got really lame ideas, things like the minimum wage. Instead of focusing on that, we need to talk about how do we give people the skills and the education, the qualifications they need to take on careers that pay far more than the minimum wage.
I read an article that you
Scott,
are...
Horsley, how is Scott Walker doing in his first week, and what kind of candidate is he trying to be in this crowded Republican field?
Well, Jeremy, I have to just say, as somebody who's cooked an awful lot of quarter pounders in his day, it's nice to see a former McDonald's worker
Hello,
making
McDonald's
good.
Worker, yes.
He's doing pretty well. He's running number two or number three nationally in the polls, and he's running number one in Iowa, where he is today, kicking off a three-day Winnebago tour of that state. He's pinned a lot of his hopes on winning Iowa. And he has a lot of appeal to the social conservatives, the religious conservatives who play a dominant role in the GOP nominating contest there. He's the son of a Baptist minister, and he has, since he's jumped into the presidential fray, he's been playing up those social issues more than he did or has as governor of Wisconsin, a relatively blue state. But he positioned himself in his kickoff as a fighter, a political pugilist, somebody who knows how to take a punch, can throw a punch, and someone who will fight for disgruntled Americans.
But Perry, how does he distinguish himself from some of the other Republicans going after that right-wing base of the party, Mike Huckabee or Rick Perry or Ted Cruz?
His basic pitch is that he is the one of those people who's like one in a blue state. His pitch is, I'm a conservative, and I'm as conservative as Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee, but unlike them, I've won in Wisconsin, which last elected a Republican in 1984 when Ronald Reagan won there. His idea is...
But Chris Christie could also say that about himself.
I guess without a scandal, maybe is what I should add to that, perhaps. And also, if you look at Chris Christie's record, he's actually not nearly as conservative as Scott Walker. Scott Walker, of course, known for, you know, really blocking public sector unions in Wisconsin, known for opposing the Medicaid expansion, Obamacare, which Christie accepted in New Jersey. Scott Walker is probably 7 or 8 degrees more conservative than Chris Christie, while also being able to cast himself as electable. So that's his main pitches. I'm more to the right than Bush, and I'm more electable than Cruz. And his other pitches, I've done stuff. Unlike, you know, Cruz and Paul, the senators.
Okay.
Who mainly talked about stuff.
Well, one of the big issues this week, obviously, was the nuclear deal with Iran, which gave Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who is running for president, kind of a chance to gain a little bit of traction because this is an important issue for him in the Senate. Let's listen to him on NBC's Today Show.
This is the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, where the Jewish people were almost wiped out. Now you've given their chief antagonist, the Ayatollah in Iran, a pathway to a nuclear weapon. You've enriched him, more weapons to wreak havoc on the region and putting us at risk. This is a terrible deal. Anybody could have done better. And you have taken a can of gasoline and thrown it on a fire, as far as I'm concerned.
Scott, all of the Republican candidates criticize this deal, but is this an issue that voters are going to care about come November of 2016? Or even the issue of foreign policy, I have to ask in general, is that going to be a big issue in the campaign?
You know, obviously a lot can happen between now and then, but if I had to make a guess, I would say that won't be the dominant issue in November of 2016. And for all the criticism, most of the foreign policy experts I talk to think this deal is going to happen. Even with strong opposition from Republicans and some Democrats in Congress, they expect that the president will have what it takes. He only needs one-third of one chamber of Congress to stand with him on this to make it happen. And then by the time 2016 rolls around, the sanctions relief will have kicked in. Iran will be doing what it's supposed to do to whittle away at its nuclear stockpile. Scott Walker talked in his kickoff of repealing this agreement on day one if there's a Republican in the White House, but the realist I talk to think that's unlikely.
Okay. Well, before we get to the Democrats, Perry, I want to go to Donald Trump, who is still up there in the polls, right at the top of some of them, and he is not backing away from his comments disparaging Mexican immigrants. He drew thousands of people to a speech at the Phoenix Convention Center last Saturday and was interrupted by protesters. Let's listen.
They're taking our jobs. They're taking our manufacturing. They're taking our money. They're taking everything, and they're killing us on the border. And Mexico does not like it. So remember this. Don't worry. We'll take our country back very soon.
Perry, is Donald Trump starting to look like a serious candidate here that could stick around for the long haul?
I guess it depends on how you define serious is what I would say. I think there is when he got in, I was curious, would he actually become a real candidate and be there in Iowa and be in New Hampshire? And the signs are in terms of he can afford to run. He seems to be enjoying running. He's accepted the fact that he got fired from his job as, hosting The Apprentice and so on. He seems to be okay with, he's losing some of his business interests by running for president. He seems okay with doing this. So I think he will be in the field for a long time. I still think at the core of it, the Republicans tend to nominate someone more like Mitt Romney or more like John McCain, probably more like Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio in this field. So it's unlikely. I have a hard time seeing him winning a lot of primaries or winning any primaries.
But couldn't you make it through some of these primaries without actually getting that big of a percentage of the vote just because of how many candidates there are?
Well, as long as you can afford to fund your campaign, you can run till May of next year. And I think Donald Trump can certainly do that because he has the funding to do so. And it appears in the polls like he might have 5 to 10% of people who like his rhetoric, who like his kind of fervent anti-immigrant behavior. And I think that's the core of it. He's got a small core. I think it's pretty small, but he can stay in the race and keep speaking to those people if he chooses to.
Okay, Scott Horsley, let's move to the Democrats here. And Hillary Clinton, who criticized some of her potential Republican opponents, if she gets the nomination, that is, Scott Walker for attacking collective bargaining in Wisconsin. She knocked Marco Rubio for his tax plan, which she called tax cuts for the super wealthy. And she attacked Jeb Bush for those comments that got a lot of play, which he says were misinterpreted, that Americans need to work longer hours. Here's Hillary Clinton.
Let him tell that to the nurse who stands on her feet all day, or the teacher who is in that classroom, or the trucker who drives all night. Let him tell that to the fast food workers marching in the streets for better pay. They don't need a lecture. They need a raise.
Scott Horsley, how much is Hillary Clinton thinking about challenge from the left right now, from Bernie Sanders and from others?
I think that's part of it, but I also think this is a real source of frustration with the American public. They have seen that the economy has come back, albeit in fits and starts, and yet they haven't seen that making its way into their own pocketbooks. Their own paychecks haven't registered that kind of gain. And that's a real problem. It's a problem that Republicans are starting to talk about, and it's certainly a problem that Democrats are talking about. The challenge is, what can you do that really does address it? Policies like the minimum wage certainly can address it, despite what Scott Walker says. Policies like the overtime rule that the Labor Department's put forward can nibble around the edges, too. And frankly, policies that influence workers' bargaining power can make a difference. Of course, that's exactly the opposite direction of what Scott Walker's been doing in Wisconsin.
I want to ask you both, because there are so many candidates at this point. There are so many things going on. 11 minutes is not really even enough to talk about all this. But is there somebody that we are not focusing on that we should be paying attention to this week, Perry Bacon?
I don't think there is, really. I think that, when I look at the field, I think there's a lot of people running. But ultimately, if you look at the way politics generally works and the people who really have strength, Hillary Clinton, strong on the Democratic side, hard to see her winning. And then I think Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, we didn't talk about him. He's a very strong candidate, I think. Jeb Bush, we mentioned here. I do think we should watch next week. John Kasich was elected governor of Ohio overwhelmingly in November. He's a person who could win that nomination. He's worth really looking at when he announces next week.
Scott, do you agree with that? John Kasich, a real threat on the Republican side?
Well, he's certainly going to be an interesting figure, and Ohio is a crucial state for Republicans if they want to win nationally. One of the most interesting things I thought that came out this week was a Univision poll of Latino voters. We talk about Trump's rise in the polls. Univision asked Latino voters what they think of what he says. 8 in 10 say they find his comments offensive. 7 in 10 say they have an unfavorable impression of Donald Trump. But as much as that's a Malox moment for the Republican Party, only about 14% of the Latinos ascribed Donald Trump's attitudes to the overall Republican brand. So what that tells me is Latino voters are much better than Donald Trump at drawing sort of nuanced perceptions and not painting a whole group of people with one broad brush.
Scott Horsley, a White House correspondent for NPR. We've also been speaking with Perry Bacon, senior political reporter for NBC News, on our weekly check-in on 2016. Thanks to both of you.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for having me.